Well, today is Sammy Sunday. So for those of you who know what that means, I'm surprised you're here. All right, moving on. I say that out of jealousy for him. So every now and then we have this little boy from Galilee come, and he tells us a story from the Bible that he was there to experience. And so I'm going to go back and get him. Y'all wait patiently. I should be just a few minutes. I don't know why I was looking there. The clock's not over there. The clock's back there. So give me just a couple minutes here, and we'll bring him out. If you guys want to, feel free to talk, but he'll interrupt you when he comes back out. This I know. As I drop this thing, that would be awkward. All right. Give me just a second. Dude, Sammy, you're not even ready yet. What in the world? No. The rabbit goes around the root, then through the hole. Goofball, what are you doing? Here, let me help you get your coat. Get that on there. All right. Yeah, they're ready for you. I know they like you more. Just shut up. All right. Are you guys listening to me? My stars. That's embarrassing. All right. Here we go. Almost. This is crazy. Hi. Pastor Barry left an obstacle course in there for me, and I wasn't going to jump out. Forgot to clean those steps. My name is Sammy. I'm from Galilee, and I have a great story to tell you today. I called Pastor Barry, and those phones are cool. I didn't have one of those when I was growing up. They're awesome. But he was telling today about how you have a baptism today back here. And I told him, I said, Pastor Bear, your people, they like me more than they like you. And he said, shut up. It wasn't very nice. It's true. Anyway, I said, I've got a great baptism story to tell you. And he said, really? I said, yeah, it'll be better than anything you could preach. So I want to come and preach. Fine. It was kind of a funny story. But anyway, I'm here, and I'm going to tell you this story about this baptism thing. Now, how many of you guys remember the first time I was here when I told the story of the miracle of the five loaves? Remember that story? Feeding of the 5,000, miracle of the five. I got to tell you, those disciples got it wrong. Because here's the thing. I was that little boy, right? And I liked to fish. And so I told the story how that one day I went out, I got five loaves of bread from my mom, and I went out and went fishing. And I caught these two huge fish. The Bible says they were small. All those disciples said it was small. Well, you know why they said it was small? Because they couldn't catch fish on their own. Read it. They needed Jesus' help to catch fish. Those guys were jealous of me, so they said my fish were small. They weren't small. The miracle was the five loaves feeding 5,000. My fish were big enough to feed 5,000. I was there. I know it. Those disciples, they can't catch anything. It's like Pastor Bear. You ever go fishing with him? That guy can't catch anything either. Some of you know that. You go out, you go with him, you don't catch a thing. I hope he's not listening. Anyway, you know. That guy, he's like the disciples. He can't catch nothing. Well, I catch fish. I'm a good fisherman. And this day that I want to tell you about, I was out there fishing on the Jordan. This is before this whole thing happened with the miracle of the five loaves and the two huge fish. I'm going to change that. I'm going to lobby for that someday. Anyway, the two huge fish. And so I was out there fishing on the River Jordan, and every community has the crazy guy. You know what I'm talking about? That one guy you see in the grocery store, and you're just kind of like trying to check out without him seeing you. We have one of those as well. He's a little unique. That's a Christian word, right? Is that a Christian word? Unique. He dresses weird, and when you're a little boy and you see a guy dressed weird, he was wearing, like, camel hair. Who wears camel hair? I don't wear camel hair, and he wears camel hair. And he eats wild honey, and that's okay. That's actually good. My mom will let me have it. She thinks I get wired on sugar. I don't know why I get so excited. I have to move really fast. I have to talk really fast, and I have to go really places. And a lot of times, she said I can't have honey. I'm not bitter. That's okay, if I could just have a little honey. But I can't, because John, he eats his, and he doesn't share very well. And I don't want to anyway, because he wears that camel hair. But the weird thing is I was down there fishing, and I see John walking along the river there, and there's these bugs flying everywhere. He reaches up, grabs one. The guy ate wild locusts, too. That's what the Bible says. He ate locusts. And all this odd. When you're a boy and you see a guy eating bugs, what do you think? Don't say it out loud. You can't. You're in church. It was weird, okay? It was weird. And this was that John the Baptist guy. So I'm down here in the river, and I'm fishing. And here he comes along the river. And I'm like, oh, no. No, not John. He's going to talk. And he's going to talk loud, because that's how those guys always talk, right? How are you today, Sammy? Have you heard about Jesus is coming? The Messiah is coming. And I just want to fish, John. I just want to fish. Well, a whole crowd was following this guy. And so he sets up camp right next to me. How do you fish? I mean, I don't care if you have Jesus helping you. You're not going to catch fish with that crowd in the water. All right? It's just not going to happen. Well, he's got this whole thing and got the whole crowd there, and he's getting ready to baptize people. And he was crying to people. He said, hey, repent, repent, because the wrath of God is coming. Repent, for the wrath of God is coming. And the Pharisees were coming up to him, and he was calling them a brood of vipers, which made me laugh as a little boy. Because you see the Pharisees, and they're all, you know, they act like Pastor Bear. That guy's weird. And they're just all full of themselves, right? We all know that they're just people. They screw up, okay? And he called them, John the Baptist called them a brood of vipers. I laughed. Inside, because you can't laugh outside. They'll take you out of church, man. That's not cool. All right, but inside I was laughing when he called him that, and he said, who told you the wrath of God was coming? Yeah, well, that was a good question, and they just stood there, and they were just mad. You could see they were just mad, but other people coming up and say, hey, John, what do we got to do? And John the Baptist, he's like, well, you know, if you have two coats, you give one coat to your neighbor, and the soldier, well, what do we do? Well, if you're a soldier, don't extort money from people. Don't say, hey, you're a soldier, pay me to protect you. Don't do that. If you're a tax collector, don't collect more than you're supposed to. That's always good advice for friendships, by the way. If somebody tries to, you know, you're borrowing or loaning or taking, don't take more than you should. Just a little FYI. I don't want to talk about it. I read about it in the book somewhere. How do I know that? Anyway, moving on. Focus. So, all these people were there. And they were repenting of baptism, and because this wrath of God was coming. And now, I got to clarify something. Here's what I got to clarify. Because this story of John the Baptist and this story of repentance because the wrath of God was coming reminds me of a story of another fisherman. Now, you guys don't know him as a fisherman, but I do, because we had, you guys think this whole new X Games thing is new to y'all? It's not new. We had the X Games when I was around too, and even before that. And we had this one fisherman who he was just crazy. He was so crazy, well, the one that got away, he used himself as the bait. That's how crazy he was. He was out in this ocean out there, right? In the middle of a storm. All right, guys, throw me in. I'm going to catch this one. You may think it's a little different in the Bible, but I'll tell you, all right? So they threw him in, and sure enough, he caught one. Or it caught him. I don't know. Anyway, he got this big fish. This big fish got him, and he was there for 3 days. They were wrestling around the whole 9 yards, and finally the fish got tired of it, spit him up, and, well, I give him kudos for trying, but poor Jonah didn't quite make it, all right? Well, he went to the city of Nineveh, and he was shouting out the same story, repent, because the wrath of God is coming, right? Remember that? And they repented. And what happened? The wrath of God didn't destroy the city, did it? Well, John the Baptist was coming to the nation of Israel, and he said, hey, repent, because the wrath of God was coming. And while some people repented, most people didn't. And let me tell you, Sammy, I was living there. When AD 70 came, the city was destroyed. There was a whole destruction on the city. And you say, well, how do you know there, Sammy, that that wasn't talking about the wrath of God and going to heaven and going to hell? And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said in John 3:16, what did he say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes should not perish. But John was saying, well, you got to give away your extra coat, and you can't overcharge taxes, and you can't extort money. Well, that has nothing to do with believing. That has to do with showing signs of repentance. That has to do with, that's a work thing, which is the same thing the people in Nineveh were supposed to do. Repent, turn away from what they were doing and begin doing what was right. So it was a wrath, it was a temporary wrath coming upon that city because they were rejecting God. That's what they were doing. And John the Baptist, he was baptizing these people for this repentance thing, saying, hey, look, it's baptism. This baptism doesn't send you to heaven. This baptism prevents the wrath of God from coming down upon you. And that's a big thing, because let me tell you, as a little boy, sometimes you get confused about what all this stuff means and everything. And I'm just here to tell you that baptism has nothing to do with going to heaven or getting out of hell. That's just, I'm just going to clarify that for you, just a little information, okay? Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says you have to believe to get to heaven. You baptize as a sign of obedience, and I just want to clarify that for you because it's important. But I tell you what, man, I really like that Jonah. I was never gutsy enough to do that. But that was a great story of repentance and the whole national repentance thing. That was pretty awesome. Anyway, going back to John the Baptist. So he's back here, and he's crying out for people. And then the new guy showed up. The new guy showed up. And I'll be honest, he looked a lot like me. He was strong, muscular, good-looking, attractive, charming, smart. I'm not prideful. I'm candid, people. Some of you are laughing. Why? It's hurtful. That was my camel. I think it's ready for me to go. He's glad that John the Baptist didn't find him. He'd be wearing him. All right. Anyway, so this new guy showed up, and he was quite the guy, looking pretty good there, I guess. And it was interesting because for the first time, John the Baptist sees him. And for the first time, John the Baptist, he did something really weird. He stopped, and he said, "Why are you coming to me? I should be going to you to be baptized." And everyone in the crowd, and I almost dropped my fishing pole. That's how interesting that was. That's saying something for me. All right. It was just like, whoa, what does this mean? John the Baptist says, I should be baptized by you, by this new guy. I'd never even seen this new guy before because the miracle of the five loaves hadn't happened yet, okay? So give me a break. All right, anyway, I hadn't seen this guy before, and this guy said, no, John, it's okay. This is as it should be. Go ahead, baptize me. This is as it should happen. And so John the Baptist took him out there in the river, and he baptized him. And that's another reason right here, because listen to this. What happens is that as he went under the water and he came up, and as he's coming up out of the water, we looked up, and out of the heavens came the Spirit of God. It looked like a dove, and man, that was awesome. And this thing came down, and it descended on the shoulders of this new man, and then this voice from heaven cried out, saying, "This is my son." See if I can do it. "This is my son, with whom I am well pleased." That was pretty cool. That wasn't at all like it. I messed it up. I always do that. My mom said I shouldn't even try. "But this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." And automatically I knew, wait a minute, this isn't just a normal person. This is the Messiah that John the Baptist said would come. And as I was going to say earlier, that's another reason that the baptism thing isn't for sins, because why would the Messiah need to be baptized? He doesn't have any sins to forgive him. What's he doing? He's being baptized because he's what? He's identifying with the message. You know, to be a good Jew back then, to be a good Jew, you had to be baptized to be a good Jew. To say, hey, I'm following Judaism. I'm following the rules of the church. I'm going to be baptized. That's how you did that. And then to reject that, to say, hey, I'm going to follow someone else's teachings, what do you have to do? You had to be baptized again into that new teaching. That was just a symbol. Saying, hey, look, I'm following this new teaching. And so this Jesus guy, here he was, and he said, I'm following the teaching of John the Baptist. Man, that'd be kind of cool. Could you imagine being a preacher, a crazy one like that, and having the Son of God come and say, yeah, what you're saying is right, dude. I'm with you on that. Man, that'd be pretty awesome. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was identifying with the message of John the Baptist that, yes, the wrath of God was coming, that, yes, we need to repent. Yes, we need to turn away from our evil things and begin doing what's good. That's what Jesus was saying. And then the voice of God came down, and it said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And I sat there and I thought, wow. Wow. Now later on, let me tell you, I was baptized and I didn't have a voice of God cry out from heaven. That would have been cool. Wouldn't that be cool today if the voice of God cried out? I think I'd get scared. I'm going to leave right after this so I don't have to be there for that. That would be really cool. Could you imagine what it'd be like to hear the voice of God? But here's the cool thing, and this is what I want to tell you. Even though the disciples, you know, and Luke, he wasn't a disciple, even though they got that whole story of the five loaves, miracle of the five loaves, they got that part wrong because they're huge fish. You can still trust what the Bible has to say. And the Bible gives us the voice of God. And the Bible says, you know, he who believes in me, right, whoever believes in him has the right to become children of God. So for those who believe in Jesus, they have the right to become children of God. And so I sit here and I think about these two young people getting baptized today, and I imagine God up in heaven looking down. And while there isn't an actual voice that we hear, I imagine him saying, oh, there's my kids. Those are my kids, and man, I'm proud of them. Wow. Can you imagine the God in heaven who created this whole world sitting there looking at these young people saying, those are my kids, and I'm awful proud of them. What an amazing thing. Not because at that moment anything has changed for their eternity, because that happened when they believed, but at that moment they're identifying with the message of Jesus, saying, yes, I am a Christian, and I want to live my life honoring to God. I want to follow the message of Jesus. What an amazing thing that is. What an amazing thing. I know today's story wasn't really that exciting, but you know, as we think about the baptisms, you think how important this is. Because at this moment, we have God from heaven looking down, saying, man, I'm proud of those kids. And we have this moment where we are giving a wonderful picture of what Christ did for us. As we go under the water, we think of his death. And as we come out, we think of his death and burial going under. And as he comes up, his resurrection. And I know you guys sang about the resurrection today. I heard that, how we believe in the resurrection. And what a great symbol that is as we identify now with this story of Christ, who came to this earth to die for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And what do we have to do? We have to believe. You know what's interesting? John was preaching that message of repentance. He said, well, Pastor Bear, the city was destroyed, so what good did it do for those who were baptized and all that good stuff? And that was a good question, but Pastor Bear doesn't know anything. I teach him everything because he's so slow. I'm so sorry for him. Anyway, so Sammy knows because Sammy was there. And here, let me tell you what happens. During that persecution, during that time, the people who were baptized were persecuted. They were kicked out of the city of Jerusalem. They were chased out. They were put in jail. They were run amok. You guys heard about this Saul guy chasing people out. The people, the Christians, even the apostles were kicked out of the city of Jerusalem. When the city was destroyed in AD 70, how many Christians were there? Very, very few, if any at all. That's what history shows us. So those people who baptized, who identified, were they saved in the wrath of God? Yes, they were, just as God promised. And for those of us who believe in Jesus, are we saved in the wrath of God? Yes, we are, because that's God's promise. That's an amazing promise. So again, baptism has nothing to do with sins, with our own individual sins and getting to heaven. It has everything to do, though, with identifying with the message. Well, my camel's hungry. You guys heard him. He'll wait. But I'm going to go and take care of him here in a minute. Pastor Bear is going to come up. He's going to come back, and we'll get to this baptism service. But I want you guys to think about just that powerful day when that ministry began. And the Bible scriptures say that was the day his ministry began, the day he was baptized. And for those of us who are getting baptized today, for those doing that, for those who have been baptized earlier in lives, that's the day that can mark the beginning of your life in obedience to God. Not your life as a Christian, but now your life. You say, you know what, God, from here on, I want to live my life in obedience to you. And this is a symbol of that day. Well, thanks for letting me come. One other word of caution. Again, I can't reiterate this enough. I like to fish, and it's very important to me. And for those of you who like to do that, you know, you understand that. So again, before he comes back, I'm telling you, if he, being Pastor Bear, calls you, says, hey, let's go fishing, tell him no. Tell him no. Don't do it. because that guy can't catch cold. And if anybody, has anybody here experienced that? Anybody here experienced that one? Raise your hand. If you've ever been fishing with Pastor Bear and you never caught anything, okay, you're one. Any other brothers? There's another one. There's, you guys know, don't you? He can't catch anything. Just letting you know that. Don't tell him I said anything. Thanks for letting me come.